Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a technology presentation from November 2017. Ms. Sophie Bramo, independent journalist, presents Smart Thermal Solutions.
My name is Sophie Bramel. I'm moderating this conference, and I have a lineup of some very interesting people working in next-generation smart heating solutions and on-demand heating. We're going to start. Can you each of you introduce yourselves and just say a touch of what, you know, what your technology is, what your company does, how you came to develop these on-demand heating solutions? Who wants to start? Christoph?
So, hi, I'm Christoph from Warmex. We are a family-based company in Apolda, in Thuringia, here in Germany, in the middle of Germany. We are doing knitwear, and we develop smart textiles, conductive smart textiles, since 2002. Our core competence is it to make
these
textile circuits, which are made to wear them directly on the skin. You need a lot of electronical equipment for it, and but finally it works. You need only very small energy for a huge effect. That's why we wanted to directly be on the skin with our heater. Well,
Florian.
Thanks, Christoph.
Florian Miguet.
Hi, everyone. My name is Florian from Climate. I'm the CEO and co-founder of these intelligent thermal technologies that we have developed the last 2 years. We have a vision at Climate that to make sure that everyone can understand and everyone can reach his or her thermal comfort, whatever the weather conditions outside or whatever the activity that the people are doing. So we have decided to embed two worlds together, electronics and textile, in our technologies. Our technologies is a B2B, so we are an ingredient brand which allow brands to get some information on the end users. So basically, we are able to monitor the user temperature, body temperature, analyze based on his profile, and then react when and where the need of heat is needed. That's pretty much what we are doing with Climate.
Thank you. Stefan.
Hello, my name is Stefan Karlsson, come from the company InnoHeat, also working with wearable heating. We have developed a heating platform, so we also are a kind of ingredient brand. Don't make any clothes at all ourselves, but we have this platform where we cover everything from smooth production, because we want it to be easy for the clothing manufacturer to still continue to manufacture at the normal plant where they manufacture their clothes before, use the same machinery and everything. We have a production system that keeps control about this. And then we have a heating, what we call toolbox, where we use different heating components, different kind of heating elements, and different kind of sources. And we use this, you can control this directly from a battery pack or from a smartphone, of course, using a Bluetooth communication.
Okay, we'll go into the details later on of all your technologies.
My name is Carsten Wortmann. I'm the CEO and founder of Nanogy. We are representing in Europe, the Chinese technology JNova. It's a carbon nanotube-based heating technology, which is completely metal-free, and it's extremely light and flexible. And our goal is that we would like to provide a technology which can be integrated in any textile and which is smart, which is used, which is equipped with medical-grade sensors, which keeps the heat at a steady control level. And it's extremely durable and washable, and you can knitter it and crumple it. Yeah.
And this is a very new technology.
It's a very new technology. We have introduced it in Europe at the ISPO. And our colleagues in China have worked for 6 years on developing this kind of conductive material.
All right, thanks. So, yeah, I wanted to go into the details of each of your technologies, because we've been talking about electrotextiles for a long time, but marrying electricity and textiles is not that easy, as I think some of you have learned in the process of developing your products. So let's start maybe with the basics. What conductive material did you choose and why? So, do you want to start?
To the veteran.
Yeah, our veteran here, our experienced user.
Do I look like a veteran? Okay.
You've all tried everything and...
started early.
Yeah, our early starter.
Really?
Early adopter.
If you'd like to. So we use for our clothing, the purpose is to have it on the skin.
Yes.
And we use a silver-coated polyamide yarn. Therefore, it's a polyamide in the core and a silver coating around it, a very thin layer of silver. So it's conductive on its surface, despite to a wire, which is conductive inside. You know.
Okay. And does it last long?
Well, it does, yes.
Yeah?
It depends on what you do with it, of course.
Yeah.
And how you treat it.
But all your products are washable, I'm supposing. Yeah, okay. All right. And so, Florian, what kind of conductive material did you choose and why?
We have used also technology which is pretty similar than Christophe, to be honest. The main difference that we do have is we embody sensors in order that...
You have the conductive and the sensor.
Yes, exactly.
Function. Okay.
I think the biggest challenge that we have faced is also, as Christophe said, is regarding durability, as a silver yarn is also, after washing, decreasing. Differently depends the treatment you put, but substantially the performance. So we have been looking also for some solutions.
For other solutions,
yeah.
You still eye open on new stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think everyone here because it's a big trend. Maybe the difference that we do have, as I say, against with the other is having sensors allow you to be super reactive.
And super reactive.
Yeah,
okay.
In the sense that we can know when and where to hit, and that allows us to be quite reduced versus the other solutions.
But just because we have an example of what Warmix does here, your conductive textiles are not visible.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, if
people want to see, they need to touch me so far. You asked me to wear it, so I've been wearing it. I could have bring one like this. No, it's pretty much, maybe I sit like this. It's as you can see, the T-shirt is heating. I have my temperature right here, but it's a four-way stretch, fully breathable fabrics in the front and in the back.
And you can't. There's no contact between the metal and the skin.
No.
In your
exactly. That's a little different with Warmix.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And so I think that InuHeat, having not found the fiber that would work in the conditions that you wanted, actually patented a fiber.
Yeah, you're right. When we started, we were really looking for a yarn on the market that we could solve or make heating elements in an easy way. And we kind of looked through everything that were available and tested it and all kind of materials. But we didn't find it, actually, because the first product, as you probably saw, I had some gloves and we do heating products for most kind of apparels. But what we started out with was socks. Because we thought that was the most challenge, and if we could solve that, we knew that the rest of the kind of products would be fairly easy to develop for. And I can tell you, a sock in a shoe, when you have a sweaty foot and you run current through it, it's a really hostile environment.
Right.
So we have actually developed our own yarn, which we have granted a patent for, and it withstands all the troubles that's in the shoe, actually.
And so I'm supposing it's conductive, obviously.
But a little bit, yes.
So does it have other functions? I mean, what you were looking for was to guarantee that it would work over a long time. And
there are some standards when you do the testings. Like we're using a Swedish method with the 50 wash cycles, 60 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
It's no problem. But the yarn is totally integrated in the product. That's what we wanted to achieve.
Right.
So we don't want the heating system to affect the performance of the original product. You shouldn't, if you not put on the heat, you should not really feel that it's there. You should only feel it and recognize it when it's used.
When you need it.
And it's totally integrated in the product itself. And that was difficult for us to solve, of course.
Right.
And the benefits we get from that is also that it's manufacturable in the as I said in the early beginning, it's just possible to manufacture it in a normal lithium machine today.
Right, yeah. And I think Christophe was telling me earlier that you changed your knitting machines a little bit to develop the electric components, but not too much.
Just we had to change them a little bit to knit these textile circuits. Yeah, we had to.
Okay.
And of course, we also, as I said, we use this silver-coated polyamide yarn, and with every washing, the resistance is getting a bit higher. Of course, yeah, the yarn is corroding. It will not last forever.
Right. Okay.
But we guarantee 50 washing cycles at 30 degrees.
Okay.
Not 60. That's why I'm interested in your yarn. So.
Okay.
And the raising resistance, we treat it electronically. So we provide a constant heat output anyway.
Okay, all right. Just one more question for Florian. Your technology is knitted or embroidered, the conductive yarns?
Knitted.
Knitted, okay.
Yeah.
And on special machines or on conventional machines?
No, that's, they need a special tooling.
Machine.
Yeah,
okay.
We need a special machine.
Okay, and so Karsten, no metal.
No
you
metal,
mentioned.
Or nearly no metal. We have metal here in the connector.
Okay.
But we chose the nanocarbon tubes because it's more conductive than the metal-based fibers. And it also...
So it's coated then?
It's
or
coated.
Printed
it's coated.
Or
it's coated,
coated?
On a membrane, on a film. We use PDFE film, but it can be also used on other films. And... it can be washed at any degrees, and we guarantee 100 life cycles. But in fact, we are at 1,000 life cycles.
Wow.
We've tested, and the
and there's no degradation.
No, it stays stable, and the material can also get in touch with liquids, so it still works. And one. Big advantage is also if you punch the material somewhere or if there's a breakage, it still works. It's just a small piece which fails.
Okay.
For example, here, this was made by accident by a product designer. I asked him to do a cushion. When I received this, I was, what did he do? He stitched through it. But we found the mic. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. But actually, we found out that the material is still working, even though it's stitched through.
Stitched through.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's
pretty
completely
cool.
Flexible, and you can wash it and crumple it.
But then you wouldn't want to wear it next to the skin, necessarily, because...
No, there has to be a fabric. It's not next to the skin, but there has to be a fabric in between.
Right, yeah. It can be something very fine.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like here, we have an example. You have laminated it with a fabric, and you see how light it is and how flexible it is.
Okay. And so I'm noticing the connector system.
Yeah.
Is there any way to make those connectors? I mean, that's the hardware part of your technology, right? So we're pretty far away from textiles. What solutions, what kind of thinking process and design process did you develop to try and make it as unobtrusive as possible, as seamless? I don't know. Is there something, and is there progress in that area? Because isn't that one of the weak points, is that the connectivity? InuHeat has a pretty cool system that they developed. But other, I want all of you to tell me about what connecting solutions and...
Sorry.
What,
Actually, we walked from some extra miles there, actually. What we wanted was an easy-to-use system without any cords that could get hooked up and break and so on. So we have developed our own battery, which is waterproof and very robust. You can throw it around. And one thing is actually true, because one of the big problems in the textile and electronics connection is the connection between soft and hard.
Right.
And that's a struggle to solve.
That's a problem in all these smart textile solutions.
Yeah. Our solution was this kind of label. You put it in and...
And it's magnetic, right?
But not you can easy. Do it like we do it with a label. You put it in. You can do it for me and I can show you. Or we can, like Climate do, very nice, you just use push buttons. So... Actually, there are more or less different solutions to the same problem, but it's possible, I think, to do quite good connections today after some development. The problem is to have these connections working still after washing and detergent and sweating and that kind, but that can be solved. But it's been a struggle to reach that level so we can have a secure functionality. But I think actually all of us here has come quite far in that area. Yeah.
Anything to add from our other about the hardware, soft textile?
No, it's true that the difficulty, absolutely the difficulty, is two world. Textile is soft, is fashionable, is flexible. When hardware is opposite, it's binar, it's hard, and then when you to combine those two worlds, it's definitely tricky. Mm. Tricky coming from connections. And to put some hard components to a textile, this is not that easy. So you need to have, I would say, transfer areas, area where you have a little less flexible areas as our landing pads to assure that the connection between this hard component, hard element, fit with the textile. And after, it's a question of current, which is going through, but also for us, datas and signal for datas need to be very accurate. So we need to stick with something which is so far a little ugly. I agree with you, it's spin, but you can put a lot of pressure behind and you signal and the power is still going through.
We have a little bit different solution. We use standard power banks as a connection which is connected with a usual power bank plug. But we also use a cable, which is also based on a conductive polymer, metal-free, so that we can take the battery or the power source a little bit away from the flexible areas or where you really want to move. Hide it somewhere where it's where flexibility is not that much needed.
Okay, interesting. Christoph?
Well, when we started off 2002, we as a knitwear company, we wanted to avoid cable. As far as possible. And as a clothing manufacturer, we had in the house push buttons, and we had the simple idea to use this snap fasteners or push buttons. Well, this was quite simple. 15 years later, it's still for
it's
us,
still, yeah.
I say, it's the best way to connect. It's long-lasting, it doesn't corrode, and so on. And everyone can cope with it. Everyone knows how to use it, and so on.
Right.
That's it.
Okay. And so that's the conducting element, yeah. This is sold with your... This is not like the... Because Karsten's power bank, you can use any...
You can use
power bank
any standard power bank.
Yeah. Whereas yours is custom made for your...
Exactly. We used a very strong lithium ion accumulator on an industrial basis inside here. Our philosophy is it to get most of heat with very low energy consumption. And that's why we wanted to be directly on the skin.
Right. Okay.
Stefan and I, we are using pretty much a micro SD. So micro USB, sorry. So it's very easy with your charger, with your phone. So everyone has a charger from his phone, and that's the way how to charge.
Yeah, and the idea about that, behind that, is that you almost have your USB charger with you. You can charge from the computer if you want or whatever. So it's an easy method to work use with.
Okay, so moving on, Christoph, you said that you told me earlier when we were preparing this conference that you were participating in a European funded research program. Is that linked to the heating components that you have developed?
Not directly.
Or smart textiles?
It was a project called Textiles for an Aging Society.
Okay.
This project had some research on which kind of textiles and smart textiles will be needed in an aging society. You know, our society is getting older and older by... The European Union wanted to know which needs will be there in 20 or 30 years when we have a lot of quite old people.
And well, since you've been developing these products for over 10 years, have you seen an evolution in demand, or is it we're just trying to develop the product that responds to a need? What's the deal there?
Well, an evolution in demand. I guess it's a niche market.
Okay.
People who want to have a heater in their clothing, it's always a niche market, skiing or hiking or hunting and so on. Not that mass market. Right. And and from my point of view, it was a continuous demand.
Okay. You know? I was surprised when I was talking with Stefan this morning, because he was talking about pro athletes who needed the pro skiers training, who needed to wear very fine socks.
And I have to oppose a little bit here, because I see it as a real big mass market.
Oh, you don't see it as a niche market?
No, we see a large demand, actually, for the product. We talk about elderly, of course, and skiing has its limitations. I think where we'll see the large volumes will be in professional industry, like uniform works, police force, etc., but also everyone working outside, because then it's not only about the comfort. It is, of course, also about the comfort, but it's also about efficiency, because you can work better when you have a good working environment, and also about safety, because if you can work with thinner gloves and lighter shoes and that kind of stuff, you can really benefit from that. So
that's true.
Quite soon, I think it will not only be something to be wished for, but I think it's going to be a demand from workers that we should have this equipment.
Very interesting.
I would add also to this discussion that we also foresee that it's getting more to mass market. But to make it sure that it starts to be mass market, product need to be longer lasting. They need to be also way cheaper. And that's, I think, where everyone is working hard now to make those technologies affordable. And this is exactly, yeah. And I think having products which are getting more and more affordable, more and more on body to textile, which are pretty much as durable as the shirt or the socks or the gloves, when the product will be mass market. Yeah. And I think we started, for example, this first product with K2 Korea, which is $1.2 billion US dollar company in South Korea, super tech oriented, premium oriented. And the only way was to put this product at 175 euros. And it's already expensive, premium. But if tomorrow we can start to put the product at 120, that's when you will start definitely to have a much bigger volume, because we are answering a real need. As you say, Stefan, everyone, when we are outside here, it's cold, and cold sucks, sorry to say.
Karsten, what's your experience? Because this is your first year of launch.
We also think that there will be a mass market evolving. There is more need for light clothing, for flexibility, to have less layers. I fully agree that the professional wear is one of the mass market areas. But we also see like industrial customers, industrial applications will become mass market. For example, we are currently running some test trials with the automotive industry to replace the current car seat heatings because it's more energy efficient. And hopefully, if this market picks up speed from which area ever, we will be able to scale up the production and thus reduce the prices because, as you mentioned earlier, pricing is currently
a big deal breaker. Yeah. Well, I know all these big sports brands, they all want new technologies, but they don't want them to be expensive.
I just have a short thing from real life to tell you. Because Guide, quite large glove manufacturer, manufacture about 25 million pairs of gloves, working gloves each year. They had a big success with the first heating glove concept at the A plus A exhibition 2 weeks ago in Düsseldorf. And actually, this product was named as one of the most interesting products at the fair after the positive response. And they wanted, so they're now launching a line of heated working gloves for the next season. So the market is, it's really coming.
Interesting. Do you want to add something?
Yeah, I would like to add something. Well, in the beginning, I was saying it's a niche market. I said this because, from my point of view, it's the market is limited with the price. That's what he said.
Florian said that.
Of course, if the price is lower, then the market opens and widens a lot. I always say it would need a huge company, a huge brand with a lot of market power to put a heating technology into market. If they produce a lot of pieces, then the production is not that expensive. You know these mechanisms.
Of course. Yeah.
On the trade fair, always I have some end consumers on the trade fair on my booth, and they tell me, "Well, I would like to have it. I want to have it, but it's that expensive, and I wait until it's getting cheaper." And then I always say, if you don't buy it, it will never get cheap. You know?
It's true enough.
Yeah. Well.
I think also, we from our side, we have to work all together to make this technology cheaper, more affordable. That's right. But we also have to put the consumer in the center of development of the product. And here, for example, it was with Messe München, we had 2,800 people which has been working on the climate technology, using people feedback, gave us huge information how we should build up, because building up a technology from our hand would have been a disaster. But listen and take make a different iterations to really fulfill what the people needs. That's for us was very something super important, and today it's not our product, it's pretty much their product.
What did you, can you share an anecdote? What did you learn from that study that you didn't expect to see?
Some needs, for example, we have a different areas for men and women, and we had some expectation. For example, for the ladies, we had a different environment, and one of the first sample was a little lower. So basically was on the belly, a little lower belly of the ladies. And one tester, she was from Switzerland, she said, wow, during my period, it's helped me so much. And this is something that I could not even consider.
Right.
And those are the things.
That's absolutely true.
Really?
Over the last 12 years, a lot of women came to me and said, why don't you put the heater on the front? It's for the period.
Okay.
It's very interesting because I can absolutely share this experience, because one of the first applications we were asked to develop, or actually a student approached us and said if we could support her, and she created a skirt for warming during her period.
Oh, okay, there we go.
And then to finalize this, we are working to a Swedish nurse and entrepreneur in a project developing a kind of a heated bra for when you have problems with breastfeeding.
Okay.
I think, is it milk stocking or something in English? Yeah. So warmth can be both for comfortable and also for health issues.
Right.
Problems.
Okay. Very interesting. I'm curious about the Nano-G technology. Who's going to be using it first? Do you know when it'll be? Any idea of when the first brand will be putting it on the market?
Right.
Or
it's on the market in Asia already.
Okay.
The Genova technology is two or three Asian brands which are marketing it already. It's purely B2B. Business.
Right.
We are in discussions with few brands or many brands currently. We are preparing the SMS at the moment, sending out the SMS, and we expect that during Fashion Week and ISPO next year, there will be the first use cases on
okay.
the market.
And then, so climate, the product is on the market in Korea,
yeah.
South Korea. Do you have any feedback on sales or?
So we are in 40 stores in South Korea with K2. So K2 is the leading brand in South Korea, bigger than probably Black Yak, Cologne, and so on. It's K2 is the number one, and that was also here again in Munich how things started at ISPO that we met them, and that was also very fast, very quick for them to be on the market. And
so they were looking actively for something. They were really.
Yeah, that's a market, and also why we also focus very primarily to this market. It's a big market, but it's also a market where brands younger, so they are looking for they cannot use too much this heritage, and they are also very much the consumer is very much tech oriented, connected oriented, and they were looking for very disruptive technologies, and that's how we started to work with them and to be able now to be on the market.
Okay. Yeah. And Stefan, you had a sock manufacturer partner from the start, I think.
Yeah, we have an industry partner.
So this
in
is for sale. the
This is available in the stores, yes. Mm. Yeah. Mostly in the Scandinavian region, but it also reaches out to Germany. And actually, they have a distribution meeting right now going on in Canada for North America.
So How long have these socks been on the market?
This is the second, been 2 winters now, actually.
Second winter, mm. Okay.
Then launched now is right. Since A plus A is the cooperation with Guide for working gloves. And then I have a couple of no names products here that I won't reveal the names, but there's one manufacturer with ski gloves coming out. And we're also working with an underwear, famous underwear developer and brand that will use our heating system in layer one clothes.
Okay. So, will these be presented at ISPO, possibly, or you hope
they're going to be presented at the date when we decide together when ready to launch. And they all work. The nice thing to do things together, I think, is because it's a lot of work to develop these heating systems. We all know that's sitting here. So it's too much for one company to do everything. The heating system and do good apparels, because it's more, even if you're a really big brand, it's probably a bit too tough to do both things. So cooperation is the way to go forward here. So the quality brands should work with quality heating system, and then we can put something that's really good on the market, because some of the products that have been in first generations that was developed first more or less gave heated clothes a little bit bad reputation. And I think by doing better quality products now, we can change that.
That's right, yeah.
I can also just give you also information how Climate was born. I'm a former general manager of Dynafit, ski company, and basically I was taking care, looking for some technologies that we could use for our pro athletes, and also potentially for our end user, which are not pro athletes. And we have been looking around some technologies, connected technologies, and we find out that there were nothing real concrete having data management slash also improvement on performance and thermal comfort was absolutely the number one matter in term of performance for the athletes. That's why we started 2 years ago with this idea. It's coming, I was pretty much like you, sitting, listening, or which kind of technology from a brand side. And then we didn't find something that we were dreaming of, and that's how the project started.
Okay, interesting, because I was going to, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, so we have like generation one products from or maybe possibly even generation two from Inuheat already, and you're at generation I don't know what, but what's the next step? You're thinking data at Climate, or not?
Yeah, sure.
Because you have the sensors and things like that.
We believe connected clothes, not thermal, but connected clothes should not be just only like a data information. We believe that you should fulfill three things. The first one is a product which is with a clear benefits and not only selling data. So here is thermal, here we are. Second thing is we need to have a product which is affordable. Product on the market of connected clothes are between $300 to $500 or euros. So you need to be mass market. And the last one is you need to have a technology that is not ugly. You are from brands, you are from fashion. You need something which is invisible. You need something which is truly easy to integrate in your products.
Or technologies that look good, because this has, I mean, I think it's a really cool look.
Yeah, this one, yes.
And the Inuheat socks, I mean, it's just magnificent. It's also this great...
Yeah, it has to be discreet. Yeah. Exactly.
Discreet,
this technology has to be... Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, there's been work done on, wow, it's hot. There's work being done on the look also, because, as you said, the clothes, you want to look good, you need, aesthetically it has to be pleasing.
Yeah, absolutely. We decided to take there are two ways. Huh? There is the way exactly as you show the technology, as Warmix is doing greatly. We put it everything invisible, because we have been talking with the brands, and we are... Warmix is a B2C, we are a B2B provider. And the goal was the brand, the brand decides the look, the fabric, the fit, the materials. And we don't touch at all at that. We are just implementing our technology inside, like any ingredient branding.
Which technologies use a smartphone? Climate, Inuheat, you have also the smartphone. So once you have the smartphone, that means you can collect data, and things like that. Are you working on that?
Yeah, we are actually working on that. Currently, yeah. We can collect data, obviously, about the heat.
The heat, right.
Also, you can pre-adjust the heat through the app. And the app collects the data and then also calculates something like a comfort button. That is the current stage. But we are also working on different sensors because the material is conductive and can send signals. It can be through touch, through pressure.
Right.
That means that we could probably integrate on the garment some touching areas, but also some sensors which can measure some body functions.
Okay.
But that will be the next generation.
Right. Stefan, are you working on anything in those lines with sensors and data? And
when it comes to data collection, we have that. And that was actually born already from the needs for manufacturing. We need to keep track of the clothes.
Ah.
Since we don't, as we said, don't manufacture ourselves, it's done on many different factories where the brands already do. We have this system keeping track, doing quality control during production. And when the apparel is finished, it has inside the holding attachment label, it is a small NFC tag, which gives apparel an identity.
Right.
So when it's okay, we program it with the characteristics, how it's going to run, what heat settings level, what power it's going to use. And we also use this NFC tag to collect usage data.
Usage data.
And right. That's available for the brands, which is very, really, really good to have for further development. What heat settings levels are the customers using? How long do they run it? And of course, it's anonymously. But
right.
You get a lot of these things that you have really difficult to gather from the customers, you get by automatic here in the system.
Interesting. Have you ever considered at Warmix adding other sensors or to for more information?
Yeah, so we are engaged in several R&D projects and have been engaged over the last 10, 12 years. And What pointed out was pressure sensing is a very special point for us, or has become a very special point for us. The textile pressure sensing. That
okay.
means a mat or something like a mat which you can have on your body inside
okay.
the clothing, and which can sensor pressure.
Okay.
And not only yes or no pressure,
right.
but
the level of pressure.
Yeah, the level of pressure.
Okay.
Yeah.
For what kind of end uses that would be? For what kind of goal?
At the moment, it is used. The first application was for wheelchair drivers.
Okay.
It's not very, very common, but also wheelchair drivers are
right.
They'll have a problem, you know. And they sit all the day in their wheelchair.
Right.
And with textile pressure sensing mat, you can
an exact photo of
exactly a photo, but not only a photo, you have a profile over the time and you can see if they move, how they move and where are the hot spots, where are the problems,
right.
and then you can act again it.
Okay, very interesting. I think we should turn over the field to our audience if you have any questions.
Yeah, just on that, the area of additional applications, it'd be really interesting to hear about other applications beyond just warmth, you know, lighting or cooling, yes, mm-hmm. for instance.
Yeah, cooling is much more complicated than heating, much more complicated. Heating, you just need a resistance and a battery and a switch, basically. And cooling means putting heat away. You cannot generate coolness. You can just put heat away, and the rest is cooling. You know. So we tried it several years ago with a lot of equipment, and we got quite good results. But it was too bulky and not practical. So we decided to put it into the desk again and wait for several years, maybe.
For the technology to catch up.
The technology is getting
What developing. About my, the other companies are you?
Yeah, we are not too much into lightning, for example. Our vision is still thermal. It's pretty much where we have one of the co-founders is a doctor in human thermal physiology. So this is our vertical. We want to be good at in this vertical. It's true. Thermal means heating, but means also cooling. As Christophe said, there are more challenges. I think we are working on, and many other people are also working on. But the key idea is to have something which is breathable, flexible, not bulky, affordable, durable. So it makes so many things to check that it takes a little more time than heating. But it's definitely on the way. If it's not climate, that will be somebody else.
You're totally right that cooling is something totally different. It's so different that we actually started a subsidiary that should handle that, so we shouldn't interfere with the two things in the same organization. But that told, yes, it's interesting, but we are in early stage, but hopefully one day. You can do, when you have the platform, like a cloud platform, and you have the battery, and you have a connection to smartphone, of course you can do a lot of things. We are using it as a communication platform also, not only collecting data. So this is a communication possibility between brands and their customers, since they have a direct connection down through the apps. We can do if you get a phone call, your socks vibrates. Just as an example, that has nothing to do with heating, but you can do other stuff with the products that adds on functionality. I mean, that comes from being out skiing and you pick up your phone and you missed three phone calls.
Right.
Don't like that. So perhaps I need to be breached, and then I can have my power packs vibrate when I get the call. I think heating is something that's going to be the fundament of actually quite a lot for wearables, because it's something that so many people want, and cooling. And then we can add extra functionality to that. When it comes to specific products like only lightning and so on, I think that's more. It's too power flower, a little bit. So I think it has to be a purpose of the functionality in wearables. Otherwise, we're never going to be considered serious.
We are, or our colleagues are actually working also on the cooling function. They have been working on this for quite a while, and we're quite positive that we will reach a result. But it's quite far down the road still. What is possible at the moment, we have a prototype ready for that is lighting, as you mentioned, and also we are working, but that comes from military applications. We work on plugs that you can, where you can like adjust either light or camera, so that data transmission is also possible through our material.
By cooling, I wasn't actually thinking a thermal exchange process occurring in the same way that you're talking about heating, but maybe it's a yarn which is then activated by passing a current through it and changing the structure of a fabric and opening up a mesh or something like that. But anyway.
Yeah, there are plenty of mechanical, chemical, electrical. They are very different fields. There are things possible. The thing is probably if today it can be kind of bulky. And I think We are working with institutes. I think Christophe, you are working with institutes. Stefan, you are working with institutes, and you see. So, and the biggest challenge is to work with institutes, but to be able to industrialize the product. And it's easy to come with a great idea. It's easy to make one sample, but it's not easy at all to scale up and to do 1,000 products. And the biggest challenge, at least in my opinion, for our industry, is to be able to scale up correctly. And that will be the only way that you get credibility with partners. That was key brands also start to jump in. That's the moment.
Any other questions?
I would be interested in how the heating is controlled today. I would think it's switch on, switch off. So just on demand, maybe moving or non-moving, something like that. Maybe also be interested if there is any thought about triggering the heat supply or not supply by means of humidity, by means of sweating, something like that. If that is some discussion that's going on, that would be interesting.
As you can see here, we do have our solution is intelligent. In a sense, it's not something with 1, 2, 3 power. Our technology with sensors is based on your own thermal sensors comfort. You are a man, you are a woman, you are this age, you have another, the height, the weight, those are the elements to define your own private thermal comfort that we defined with algorithm. Based on this algorithm, based on your comfort, the system itself will be intelligent. When you get out, we detect it, we heat you 5 seconds afterwards. And this is the way that, we work. You can, of course, manually adjust plus, minus. This we can do. But all the intelligence, I would say, of our solution is in this anticipation of your need. And also with sensors, you get all artificial intelligence that we get, and then to improve this reaction, to improve the longer lasting heating. That's why pretty much I think we are by far the less powerful than any of those solutions today with climate. It doesn't say the best. It says with active environments, I think we are pretty good. But if you are more static environments, I think the needs are different, and the other warm mix, Inuit, everyone will have a difference. So for our side, it's very this intelligence which makes us a little different.
Anyone else want to react to this?
We don't have we have a different approach, and what we do is that we guarantee a certain amount of power output in the close. And then you control it either from the battery pack or from the smartphone. Then when you are connected with the smartphone, we also use the proximity sensor, the motion sensor in the phone. So we detect motion and adjust the temperature and the power put out of that. That's one thing. But we also have what we can do is that we do a time control. So if you go out skiing and the ski lift closes at 3 o'clock, for instance, then you can put in a temperature that you know going to last until a specific time.
Okay.
So you don't you won't be cold the last hour or something like that. Definitely climate is more advanced, war is a little bit more general. Yeah. The sensors are there if you need them.
Yeah. And Karsten?
We're also working with sensors, and we also call it an intelligent system. Probably it's not as advanced as your sensor system, but our goal is to reach a certain temperature very quickly, very fast, and then keep that temperature level steady. That means that the system switches on and off the power supply automatically, and thus that, of course, has a positive effect on the durability of the technology, and also it allows completely different applications. For example, a sleeping bag. We have constructed a sleeping bag where the technology kind of works as a Kickstarter. It heats up the temperature, and once a certain level is reached, it kind of can
it turns off.
It turns off, right? Because the body heats the sleeping bag.
Christoph, do you have anything to add? Yes, he does.
Yeah, automatic controlling is a quite sophisticated thing. You cannot do it only with humidity or sweat, because your body will act different. Imagine if it's summer or winter. In summertime, 5 degrees plus, you feel quite cool. And in winter, after having 30 minus 2 weeks, 5 plus is quite warm. And if you are ill, then you start sweating without being warm. And so on. So it's a long-term product from us. We are working on this together with two different research institutes, but it's really quite sophisticated to have an automatic climate control without level 1, 2, 3, you know.
Any more questions from the audience?
For every one of you that's using batteries, do you have like an environmentally friendly solution in terms of recycling the batteries, and what impact do they have on the environment? And if they break, do you collect them and replace them, or what's the sort of cycle of that in your technologies?
Our philosophy actually is a little bit different, because we do not provide the power bank or the battery. Because...
He's
sneaking out, right?
Right, but no. I'm going to catch him by... But he's also the one that's using carbon nanotubes.
Exactly.
So how environmental or safe, you know, I mean...
Okay, but for the batteries, our philosophy is that most of the users already have a power bank.
So you're not adding more to the market.
We are not okay. adding additional batteries. To come back to your question of the carbon nanotubes, yeah, there's many types of nanotechnology. There certainly is some nanotechnology which can harm your body, and but we are not using the single tubes, which are so small that they really could harm your lung functions. But we kind of build bulks of nanotubes under very high pressure and high temperatures. It's about a very complicated process at 1200 degrees Celsius. And so these nanotubes, or the tubes, have a size which is not dangerous anymore, and it's nearly as hard as a diamond. It's a carbon structure, and sometimes we joke about it because we say you could even eat our nanotubes, because the technology has been around for a long time, and is even used in pills for drug transportation.
So fast, because I think we have to...
Just to answer you shortly. Exactly, regarding battery. We are working with... We are paving the road, to be honest. It's pretty new industry, as you can see. More and more people coming, great. In terms of who have a responsibility, clearly. So we have decided to partner with an institute, French institute, to work. We run tests on that. That's the same for sustainability, but that's also the same way because we are using Bluetooth emission. So we are also on the forefront, because there are norms which are getting to the market, which are not yet on the market, but we are working with those institutes to basically to settle the norms and the standards. And so it's also, and we consider that from day one, definitely.
And I think it can talk for all of us. Our partners, our customers, are quite big demands on us on having an environmental philosophy that is more than the law says. So we need to be as good as possible to be able to get customers. That's an easy answer.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you all also for attending and for your questions.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.com. Copyright November 2017 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.